Chapter 1. Being a god was fucking awesome.
Bash!
Kalia Stone moaned as she arched her back. I continued to suck on her nipple while simultaneously rubbing my thumb against her swollen clit, but I'd already been working her up to the edge for several moments. Her chocolate-colored skin glistened with sweat, and the sheen added a glow that seemed to radiate from inside her.
So that's how you do it,
Zenda observed in a scholarly tone as she peered over my shoulder. The blue-skinned beauty caressed my bare back with her long, slender fingers, and shivers ran up my spine. Her breath was warm on my neck, and her buzzed green hair tickled my cheek. When I glanced sideways at her, I could see the curiosity in her deep sapphire eyes. You're next, I growled playfully as I gave Kalia a moment to breathe, but once her chest rose and fell evenly, I gently slid my middle finger into her wet entrance until I rubbed the back of her tunnel. She spread her legs even more, and moisture dripped from her pulsating entrance. I was one lucky fucking guy. The two gorgeous women had entered my bedchamber and stripped bare before my eyes, so my ravenous desire was to be expected, and I was thoroughly enjoying myself. I'd returned home from my most recent adventure the night before, but I'd woken to find the pair of babes requesting a threesome. I'd made a save point the instant the women stripped off their clothes, and, thanks to my godlike abilities, I could relive this moment as many times and in as many different ways as I wanted. Yeah, my life had been pretty awesome ever since I woke up in this magical fantasy world, but I was once an average guy from Earth, working in a call center. Then a sorcerer named Raijin Thornheart summoned me with the intention of killing me to gain my powers, but I'd used my newfound ability against him and lived to tell the tale. The Voldemort wannabe had brought 14 goons with him, and at first, it had been a challenge to get past them all, but now I could take on several times that many with ease. It was all thanks to my ability to make and respawn to a save point. Apparently, that made me the Great One of Legend, who was brought to this world to return hope to the people. I'd traveled all over the fantasy kingdom, learned it was called Soriol, and then even went beyond to the surrounding realms. I'd fought against kobolds, griffins, werewolves, and even a dragon. But I found the most challenging adversaries were actually the people. Between political intrigue, cults, and slaver pirates, I'd faced my fair share of assholes, but with each new challenge came rewards and benefits beyond my wildest dreams. Like the 5 beautiful women jostling for a turn in my bed every night, but I only had 2 of my ladies with me during this escapade. Who wouldn't want a life like that? I was the god of time, and the world was literally my playground. I turned my attention back to Kalia, and I scooted down between her legs until her fuzzy mound blocked my view of her face, but then I sucked her already swollen pussy lips into my mouth. Zenda moved to a position beside the dark-skinned beauty, and she continued what I'd started with the curly-haired goddess's nipples. I was proud of the blue-skinned historian for taking the initiative, and I knew all our time spent studying the art of lovemaking was paying off in a big way. Zenda Zulidai was once a shy virgin, but after a couple of months of traveling with me, she'd become a ravenous and experimental lover. Her intelligence fascinated and intrigued me, and I loved watching her discover new information. She was the daughter of the High Priest of the Zaboreal Isles, but once we'd met, we'd never wanted to be apart, so she'd come with me back to Bastionville. The town itself was named in my honor, but it was once called Addington. After I'd defeated the horde of kobolds who'd wiped out most of the fighters the goblins occupying the local copper mine hadn't already killed, the townsfolk had been extremely grateful. They'd proceeded to make me their leader. But I was more focused on mastering the entire world, so I delegated the day-to-day operations to the mayor, and a council of respected town elders. Kalia moaned as I flicked my tongue across her clit.
How many more times are you going to make me climax before I can feel you inside me? She wants you to fill her up with your seed.
Zenda informed me in a matter-of-fact manner.
We both want to carry your children like the others are.
Oh, I'm happy to oblige. I chuckled. I worked Kalia up to the edge one more time, and her pussy shivered around my lips as I dipped my tongue in her entrance as deeply as it would reach. I thrust in and out while she spasmed, but then she buried her long, slender fingers in my hair to hold me still.
Oh, gosh!
She hissed through clenched teeth, and every muscle in her body froze for a long, pleasurable moment. Then her body relaxed, and her breasts heaved up and down with the effort it took for her to breathe.
Oh, you're amazing.
Just you wait, I murmured as I pushed myself up on my knees. Then I gripped my raging hard-on with one hand while I rubbed her juices all over her crevice. But once we were both ready, I leaned forward and rubbed the head of my cock against her entrance. Kalia and Zenda both reached for me, and I let them pull me closer and closer until my entire shaft was buried in the dark-skinned beauty's slippery tunnel. Then I pulled back slightly so I could thrust inside her again, but her pussy walls spasmed around my length, so every inch of movement was tantalizing. Oh, fuck, Kales. Oh, you feel so good on my dick.
Oh, I love feeling you inside me.
Kalia whimpered, and she bit her bottom lip seductively as she gazed up at me. The blue-skinned historian watched with avid fascination as my cock slid in and out of Kalia's pussy, but then she turned her attention back to the shopkeeper's nipples.
I cannot wait for my turn,
Zenda said, and her deep sapphire eyes were bright with desire.
I am already feeling warm.
It turns you on to watch, doesn't it? I held the historian's gaze as I continued to fuck Kalia.
Yes, I think so. You elicit such strong reactions, and it reminds me of when we...
Oh, trust me, you're next. We're not going to stop until you're both dripping puddles.
Promise?
Kalia inhaled sharply as I hit a sensitive spot. Swear to myself, I smirked. Kalia's nails dug into my hips as she bucked her hips toward the sensations my cock was causing, and Zenda leaned down to flick her tongue across the dark-skinned hottie's erect nipples, while her hands gently stroked the chocolate-skinned beauty's torso. It was too much for Kalia to withstand, and she began to shiver as another orgasm rocked her to the core. I held on and continued to thrust, but I could feel the tingling in my balls beginning to build. I wouldn't last much longer if we didn't change positions, and I wasn't quite ready to blow my load. I wanted to hear my name moaned some more first. I pulled out of Kalia's slippery tunnel, and I pressed a passionate kiss against her lips before I turned to Zenda. Your turn. I waggled my eyebrows.
Oh, I'm ready.
Zenda winked before she turned around onto her hands and knees, and she wiggled her ass temptingly at me. Oh, fuck yeah. I growled, and I gripped her ass cheeks in each hand to pull open her entrance. The pale blue tint to her pussy lips glistened with moisture already, and my juice-slick cock slid in as easily as slipping on a well-worn pair of jeans. Then her back arched, and she peered at me over her shoulder with a please-fuck-me-hard expression. I slammed my cock deep into her tunnel, and a gasp escaped her lips, but she didn't break eye contact with me as I continued to pound into her. You're so wet, I observed with a pleased smile.
It's because of you,
the Zaborian beauty gasped. Her words set my blood on fire, and tingles ran up my spine as I lost myself in the movements. Kalia maneuvered herself beneath the blue-skinned beauty, and every time I looked down, I could see her still, slick pussy twitching with desire below Zenda's. I slid out of the historian to dip my cock into Kalia's moist entrance, and the squeal of delight that came from the shopkeeper had me grinning from ear to ear. Then I switched back to the blue-skinned goddess for a while, and I caressed her arched back as I bounced her ass cheeks with each thrust. Zenda and Kalia laid facing each other like a babe sandwich, and both of their mouths hung open with mind-numbing pleasure as I alternated between their pussies. But it wasn't long before I had them both moaning my name.
Oh, Bash! Bash!
Zenda squealed as her pussy muscles tightened, and every part of her began to vibrate as the climax overpowered her.
Bash!
Kalia moaned as I switched back to her glistening tunnel.
That feels so good.
Hearing them call out my name in unison sent me over the edge, and I emptied my load into Kalia's eager body. My hips twitched as I squirted a pint or more into her waiting tunnel, but then I collapsed beside the haughty pile to catch my breath. Both women moved around on the bed until there was one of them to each side of me, and then they went to town on my drenched dick. They took turns licking and sucking me clean, so I was standing at full attention a few moments later, and Zenda climbed on board like a pirate princess mounting a mast. Kalia trailed kisses across my chest, while the blue-skinned Zaborian bounced up and down on my hard cock, but I managed to reach my hand down to the shopkeeper's crevice, and I stroked her clit until she was panting against my torso. I kept one hand on Zenda's perky, perfect breasts, and I squeezed them together so I could fit both mounds in one palm. Her hard nipples rubbed against the calluses of my hand, and she gasped with delight at the sensation. Come on me, babe.
Yes, Bosh.
Zenda murmured, and her sapphire eyes closed as she focused on the feelings coursing through her body. Watching her ride my dick had my blood running hot again, and the warm, wet feeling of Kalia's pussy against my fingers only added to my internal temperature. I was working them both up, and their hunger for me was obvious in their eyes, but I wanted to be the one in control this time. Thanks to my ability, though, I could reset as many times as I wanted and relive this moment all over again. Well, being a god certainly had its advantages. I moved my hand from Zenda's breasts to her clit, and I rubbed my thumb against the hard node while she continued to bounce on my dick. Her movements became jerky, and little gasps erupted from her lips with each stroke of my digit. She kept her eyes squeezed tightly shut, but a small line formed in the crease of her eyebrows. The look was a mix of concentration and pleasure, unlike any I'd seen on her face before. And I soaked in the view to commit it to memory. Then she came with an explosive shudder, and she fell forward to grasp my chest with her nails.
Bash!
Zenda wailed, and her eyes flew open to lock with mine. Come on me! I chanted as I thrust upward furiously.
Yes!
Zenda cried out as her entire body spasmed like she was having a seizure, and her nails dug into the flesh of my chest. I exploded inside her like a fire hose putting out a blaze, and I gripped her hips tightly to prevent her from flying off my cock like a rocket. My hips bucked and twitched as squirt after squirt erupted from my tingling balls, and I saw stars in my vision as my climax somehow built in intensity. It took several breaths before I came back to reality, but I found the short-haired beauty resting her head on my chest while her pussy spasmed softly around my girth. Oh, that was fantastic. I sighed as my cum-slick cock plopped wetly out of her entrance.
You're so much fun to experiment with.
Zenda murmured against my neck.
I'm glad we did this.
Kalia agreed as she snuggled into the crook of my arm. She pulled her thick chocolate curls out of the way and she laid her head on my shoulder before a contented sigh escaped her lips. Oh, yeah, next time will be even better, I said. Both girls lifted up their heads to flash me a quizzical expression, but I merely gave them a devilish grin before I reset back to my save point.
Ding!
I went through several run-throughs before I was finished with the two women in my bed, and I followed up on my promise to leave them in dripping puddles each time. I didn't stop until I'd managed to come inside them both, twice, and they were begging for a break before I was done.
Ding! Ding! Ding!
I stacked them up doggy style, laid them side by side with their legs up, and did every combination of tripods I could. I took them standing up, had them suck my dick from every angle, and overall, had a really great time.
Ding!
I taught them things about each other's bodies, and I gave instructions that quickly brought them to earth-shattering orgasms.
Ding!
I let them dote on me with complete liberty, and they sucked me dry more than once.
Ding!
The day passed quickly, and it was late in the afternoon each time I reset back to my save point. But if there was a better way to spend a day, I didn't know of it. I finally felt satisfied with the wet, gooey results of my labors and how many times I'd made each of my lovers climax. So I collapsed into a pile of sticky limbs and damp hair.
I'm gonna rest my eyes,
I murmured as I drifted off to sleep, and I had a woman on each side of me, so it was some of the best sleep of my life. The god of time was still pretty much human, and even with unlimited time, I still needed to rest. My dreams were similar to the reality I'd just experienced, and I absorbed the memory of our lovemaking in my sleep. My life was like a dream, so I never had nightmares. The next few weeks passed by in a blur as I handled the ensuing to-do list from my recent adventures into the northern reaches. I learned more about my iridescent baby dragon, and I discovered his ravenous appetite for raw meat. The star-eyed, lizard-like creature remained unnamed, but my wives and I continued to debate on various options. Nothing seemed to be quite right, though. So we waited for the perfect name to reveal itself. My dragon scale armor was cleaned thoroughly, and Jaxton and I discussed various methods to color the pieces. I stopped by the enchanter's shop, and Abrin Shelton helped me add double enchantments to my new armor. I used one of my stockpiled griffin feathers to copy the buff from my griffin feather boots, but that only made my new footwear doubly awesome. The leather griffin feather boots were getting run down, and the enchantment durability was lower than ever before. But with my upgrade, I was still the fastest man around. The dragon-worshipping cultists I'd captured from the northern reaches were still imprisoned in my impromptu jails, but we were working on a brain-cleaning therapy treatment plan, and I had high hopes of returning them to society soon. It was early in the morning, almost a month after I'd returned from the northern reaches, when the baby dragon squawked loud enough to wake me up. But I was familiar with his routine by that point, so I immediately swung my legs off the bed to fetch his breakfast. I dressed quickly in a pair of black leather pants, a plain white lace-up shirt, and a regular pair of knee-high boots. Morning, Nameless, I greeted with our customary habit of chin scratches. Hungry? The dragon chirped and flew to his usual spot on my shoulders, but he was growing quickly, so I had to take a moment to shift him into a more comfortable position. I glanced over at the bed full of gorgeous sleeping women, and a loving smile pulled at my lips. The mixture of hair colors and skin tones created a beautiful tapestry, and I was grateful to have each and every one of them in my life. Then the rounded stomachs of Mahini and Alyssa caught my eyes, and my heart rate increased. I was going to be a father to more than a dragon soon, and I still wasn't sure if I was ready for their arrival. Well, time to get shit done. I marched downstairs with determined steps, and I quickly set about making the Nameless Dragon's breakfast. I hacked up a chunk of raw beef into small, bite-sized pieces, and I tossed them playfully into the dragon's mouth. He'd grown really talented at catching them from the air, and he even flapped his wings to help him reach the more challenging tosses. Then I grabbed some fruit and a chunk of buttered bread for myself, and the little dragon sniffed at my food curiously, before he turned up his snout and returned to his own meal. Hup, time to go, Nameless. I grabbed my fur-lined cloak from the hook I'd put by the front door, and then I scooped up the little lizard-like beast and headed out of the house. The Nameless dragon scurried into his position beneath my hood, and I booped his nose affectionately before I trotted down the steps to the path.
Good morning, Great One!
Debbie, the tack store owner's wife, greeted me with an over-the-head wave. Howdy! I called back. How's business?
Oh, booming! Best decision we ever made was to move here. Oh, thank you, Great One!
My pleasure. I chuckled, and I waved to her as we parted ways. The baby dragon chirped in my ear, and I smiled. He liked our morning patrol walks, and he was far less skittish after he'd acquired everyone's sense. He still stayed within the confines of my hood when we were outside of the house, but I could easily picture him flying over my head in the future.
"Good morning, Great One!"
Ken called out as I passed by the newer of Bastionville's two taverns. The brown-haired man was one of the establishment's most frequent visitors, but despite being a heavy drinker, the man always acted sober.
"Another snowy day, is it?"
"It is winter," I smirked. "The sun will return soon enough, I promise."
"The word of a god brings me comfort,"
Ken replied, and he dipped his head.
"Have a good morning."
Another chirp from the baby dragon signaled his approval, and I continued on my way to the city gates. When I first arrived in town, there weren't even walls surrounding the houses and businesses. I'd fixed that before I went out adventuring far away from my home base. But now, we had ramparts big enough to patrol two by two. In addition to the wooden walls and gates, there were four watchtowers in each corner. Jackstam's blacksmith shop was removed from the road and off to one side of town, and my castle in progress occupied the space on the opposite side. My future home was sandwiched between farms, and it was situated parallel to the town square. The houses and businesses stood between the construction site and the main road, and the barracks and prison houses were on the blacksmith's side. I made a full circuit of the town, touched base with the captain of the guards, and headed back to the mayor's house for my daily meeting.
"Good morning, Your Grace!"
Ethan, one of the guards on the wall, called down from his post.
"Going to be a busy day at the gate today!"
"Oh, yeah?"
I hollered up at him.
"Why's that?"
"Midwinter market,"
the guard explained. I'd spent the last few weeks since returning from the northern reaches getting to know all the new residents of Bastionville. But even with my multiple run-throughs, it was still challenging to remember every single name or face. There had been a massive influx of people moving to town since I'd taken control of the region, and that didn't even include my other holdings. Carleone, Ivywood, and Windvale all paid tribute to me, and I received taxes from each town. In exchange, I was responsible for ensuring the safety of the townsfolk, but that was an easy task for a god with an undefeated reputation. No one wanted to fuck with me anymore. Those who had were no longer alive to voice their dissent. But I'd also swayed more than one person from being an enemy to becoming an ally. I finished my circuit at the construction site of my future castle, but usually by this time Evangeline had already woken up and made her way over to the build. The Duke's daughter had made it her personal responsibility to oversee the project, and she'd taken everything she'd learned from growing up in a castle and used it to our advantage. The blonde bombshell was a strict boss with the masons, but they were a naturally gruff and hard-edged crowd, so the pairing was well matched. No one spoke a word against her, but if she so much as sensed a bad attitude, her smoky gray eyes would shoot out razors of reprimand. I spotted my blonde wife as she stood with her back to me, and she had her hands planted firmly on her slender hips as she watched the men work. "Hey, babe," I leaned around her to press a kiss against her cheek, and she jumped with surprise.
Oh, Bash!
Eva laughed, and the sound was like the morning song of bluebirds.
You startled me.
Oh, just to hear that beautiful laugh of yours, I said, and I wrapped my arms around her to squeeze her into a hug. How are things here?
The outer walls are completed. Would you like a tour?
Eva smiled up at me.
I can show you where the bedroom will be, and we can consecrate it together.
Oh, absolutely. I grinned. The two of us locked hands, and then Evangeline led me through the semi-built castle. The walls stood over my head by a few feet, so the workers hauled their next layer up ladders leaning against the exterior. I strolled through the maze-like hallways into the wide-open chamber that would be my future throne room, but then Eva took me through a hallway at the back. At the end of the unfinished corridor was another big space, but I saw the beginnings of a bathroom off to one side, so I assumed it was the bedroom. Eva's lips claiming mine an instant later was the only other clue I needed, and I returned her passionate kiss as I closed my eyes to everything else except my gorgeous wife. Our lovemaking was quick and efficient, but we were both grinning like teenagers as we pulled our clothes back on.
I have a surprise,
Eva said, and her smoky gray eyes twinkled with mischief.
Later, though, when the whole family is together.
All right. Can't wait to hear it. We walked back through the maze of hallways to the main entrance, but it was getting easier and easier to imagine the finished product. Soon enough, I'd have more than enough space for my growing family, but I just hoped it all came together before Mahini and Alyssa had their babies.
After the castle is completed, we will begin construction on the walls,
Eva informed me as we walked around the exterior of the stone building.
Then we'll focus on roads and walkways through town. Before the end of the year, Bastionville will rival Bullard.
Well, it's only fair for the Archduke of Soriol to have his own city, I said, and I shrugged one shoulder. Plus, the quality of life for the residents will only keep getting better.
With you at the helm, that is assured.
We finished our inspection at the front, but by this time the head engineer had arrived. The older man had gray-streaked blonde hair, and his back was stooped over from years of leaning over building plans. Asher! I greeted, and I clapped the man on the shoulder. Everything looks great. Any problems you've encountered that I need to be aware of?
Morning, great one,
the engineer said in his gruff, gravelly voice.
Stone supplies are still abundant, and our mortar is holding just fine despite the weather. Everything is looking good for an early completion.
The faster the castle is completed, the better,
Eva said, and there was an anxious note in her tone.
Our family needs a home fit for Bash's office.
I agree,
Asher said with a bob of his head.
My main issue with speed is manpower. I need to train more apprentices, but I have nowhere to house them.
Oh, we'll arrange something, I frowned. It's about time we start organizing guilds so the master tradesmen can get apprentices. Every great city has them.
Your city will be the greatest, I have no doubt,
Asher said, and a rare smile drifted across his face for a brief moment. After our inspection of the castle construction, Eva and I parted ways while I went to the meeting of the Elder Council. I listened to petitions and other complaints from the townspeople, and with the help of the other elders, I strategized ways to improve the town even further. It was close to lunch when the meeting concluded, so I made my way back to my house on the edge of town. My women were already preparing our meal when I arrived, and the little dragon flew to his favorite spot in the kitchen the moment I removed my fur-lined cloak.
Something smells amazing, I said as I greedily inhaled the flavorful aromas filling the house.
Roasted turkey with fresh bread,
Mahini informed me, like she was giving a report as I entered the kitchen. The former mercenary was a warrior woman to her bones, and her stoic nature amused me to no end. Her sharp-edged, jet-black hair hung to her shoulders, but her ice-blue eyes were warm when they met my gaze. I'd seen her shred an enemy with her gaze, so I was always grateful for the affection in her eyes when she looked my way. I'd won her loyalty and love from my prowess in battle, and now she guarded my future child in her womb.
I made the bread.
Alyssa bragged, and she waved a fresh loaf beneath my nose. The energetic redhead bounced away to slice the bread into thick chunks and slather them with butter, and I shook my head in amusement. I'd won the hand of the mayor's fiery daughter after I'd cleaned the goblins out of the local copper mine. But she'd been more than willing to be my bride and to bear my child. Her stomach bulged where the baby grew inside her, and my heart pounded as I thought about my children's upcoming births. I couldn't wait to see the combination of our genetics expressed in little humans. But it would be an adventure unlike any other, and there weren't any roadmaps.
Have a seat,
Eva instructed as she set out plates at each spot. I took a seat at the head of the table, and I leaned back with my hands behind my head to watch my women work.
I'll pour you something to drink,
Zenda offered as she placed a mug beside me.
It's a new wine I just got in,
Kalia added with a wink.
Imported from Arasha.
That's quite a trip for a bottle of wine to make, I said, and I sipped the beverage gingerly. A few moments later, the meal was served, and all my women took their seats around the table. We ate with idle conversation, but once we were all pushing our plates away, Eva sighed and rubbed her belly. Oh, what's wrong?
Nothing.
The blonde flashed me a soft smile.
I was just thinking how full and content I am. And then I thought how eager I am to give you a healthy son.
Well, we're having a boy? My eyebrows shot up into my hairline.
It is not guaranteed,
Eva said, but a proud smile stretched across her delicious lips.
But boys are very common in my family.
Oh, that's right, you're the only daughter.
At least a child from you and Bash won't be an asshole like your brother,
Alyssa said, and she reached across the table to squeeze Evangeline's hand.
I'm so happy for all of us. Our babies are going to grow up together. They'll only be a few months apart. You will have a busy year, Bash.
Oh, what else would a god do with his time?
This is amazing!
Kalia clapped her hands with delight.
I can't wait until I have a child of my own.
Soon, my love, I said, and I flashed her a cheeky grin. A knock suddenly sounded on the door, and we all looked in the direction of the entrance. Then I pushed my chair back and stood up, and I motioned for my women to stay seated. No, I'll handle it. You can finish up with the meal if you want.
I think we're all curious about who is at the door,
Mahini said as she stood up, and the other women nodded in agreement as they followed suit. So we all went to the door together. I opened the door to reveal one of Ryandale's soldiers in a crisp uniform and freshly shaved head. He saluted stiffly, and behind him, a platoon of other soldiers stood at attention. Your Grace, you are formally invited to an exhibit of the Army's military prowess. General Ryandale has provided a spot of honor for you to watch from. Oh, a drill? That sounds fun. The soldier saluted again, snapped his heels together, and turned around to march back down the steps. The other men filed in behind him as he departed, and I shook my head in amusement at their dedication. I turned back to the five women crowded in the entryway, and the excitement on their faces told me everything I needed to know. All right, let's get ready, I said, and I rubbed my hands together. Didn't Bologna make us all some new clothes recently? This would be a good time for them.
The soldiers all looked so well-dressed. We should dress formally to watch.
With that settled, we went about getting ready for the demonstration. And once we were all in our finest attire, we regrouped downstairs. Whew, my mouth watered when I caught sight of the five beautiful women, and they all twirled their skirts to show off for me. Mahini wore a swishing skirt with slits up either leg that matched the icy blue hue of her eyes, and she covered the top with a leather corset that pushed out her breasts at an alluring angle. The sleeves were billowy and allowed for a lot of free movement, and it was an easy stretch of the imagination to picture her wielding a weapon in the outfit. Alyssa came downstairs in a flame red dress that squeezed her torso but accentuated her newly developing curves. Her growing stomach protruded from her arched back, and the neck was low cut to reveal her pregnancy-enhanced breasts. Evangeline twirled the skirt of a black Victorian-looking dress with pearl buttons running up the front, and her smoky gray eyes were lidded with a dark shade. The Duke's daughter had applied red rouge to her lips, and the color only added to their juicy allure. Kalia spun in a circle to show off the flowy nature of her satiny purple outfit, and her chocolate curls bounced freely around her shoulders. The white, fur-lined shawl she hung around her arms added a purity to the look that belied the ravenous lover I knew her to be, and my cock responded appropriately. Zenda remained ambiguous in a layered turquoise-colored frock, but the effect was like a dream mirage. She covered her short-cropped green hair in a silk scarf, and I thought she looked like a beautiful gypsy. I'd pulled on a crisp white shirt, black vest, and matching black pants. I'd also brushed my hair into a slicked-back style and trimmed my beard back into something more presentable. We looked good. But what else would you expect from a god and his five gorgeous women?
This is going to be fun,
Mahini said with twinkling blue eyes.
I can't wait to see what Ryandale has taught the army.
Oh, me either. I agreed, and I led the way out of the house. We met others on the street who were also on their way to the demonstration. So we joined the flow of the crowd as it took us toward the edge of town. I spotted Elrin, Jaxtum, and Toria as we walked, and then I also saw Sarash, Theodora, and others I considered to be good friends. It was nice to have everyone together with no emergencies or monsters to fight. We made our way to a field on the outside of town, behind the military section of Bastionville, and I saw they'd erected bleacher-like seats for the audience. There was a section boxed off and set above the others, so I assumed that was the reserved seating for my group. I led the elders and my women to the special seating, and we all situated ourselves where we could get a good view of the field below. Then Ryandale marched out from behind a curtained tent, and he made his way into a position in the center of the field. "Welcome to the first annual exhibition of Bastionville's military skills," the young general said in a loud voice. The show was about to begin.